We left off in the previous year trying to analyze this principle called Kiyum Shtaros Derabanan. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Gittin, Maseches Tubis, in Bavakama, throughout Shas, that the following scenario does not really exist in the Torah. A shtar makes its appearance into Beis Din, and now we have some kind of a question: is the shtar valid or not? Namely, are these signatures authentic, or did perhaps somebody forge these signatures? So comes the Gemara and says, Min HaTorah, that is not a concern. Min HaTorah, don't even go down that route. Min HaTorah, Eidim, Achasumim, Arashtar, Nasek, Mishanekko, and do some evasion dummy, Eidim that are signed on the Shtar as if they've been interrogated, they've been accepted, Eidis has been an escapo and evasion dummy, and finished with their eyes, that's it. And therefore, the idea of, well, let's see if somebody recognizes the signatures, maybe we can compare it to a canceled check, to a bill, that whole funds that the Gemara talks about called Kiyum Shtaros, which nice, the Gemara is not Kiyum Shtaros, is only Midrabban, because Min HaTorah, Eidim Achzum HaShtar, Nasch Mishavah, that's clear in the Gemara, many, many places. However, what was unclear was a major Machlokes Rishon we spoke about last week, about what are the parameters of that statement, that Kiyum Shtaros is Midrabban, Min HaTorah, there's nothing to worry about. So Tosfos in Maseches Ksubos took the more face value that Min HaTorah, there's nothing to worry about. And there is nothing that could necessitate Kiyum Shtaros Min HaTorah, even if the Baal Dovar, the supposed Lova, supposed Mocher, supposed husband, is yelling and screaming at the top of his lungs, Mezuya, if he's shrying Chai V'Kayim, that's Mezuya, if it's a forger, it's forger. Min HaTorah, look him straight in the face and say, sorry, I'm Rish Lachish, Eidim HaKasub HaLashtah, Nahasak Mishanetz, as of the Eidim, was the scholar already, it would be as silly as two Eidim come and say, Reuben broke Shimon's window, and Reuben is screaming and say, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true. Very nice. The Maaseh, the Tzuah Pishnah, Eidim Yochum Dover. So comes the Tosfos and says, that's what the Gemara means. Literally, Kibish Nekwit is amazing, and Tainus Mezuyev doesn't exist in the Torah. Mid the Rabbanon, at a later date, some days then between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Reuben HaNasi decided, you know what, this is a little bit tricky, and let's go the extra mile, let's give the Lover the benefit of the doubt, we're going to accept his claims, his counterclaim of Mezuyev, let's go through the extra tircha of doing Kiyum Shtaros, of finding Eidim who can identify the signatures. It's all true. Mid the Torah, it's across the board. And we saw that other Rishon disagreed with Tosfos. We saw the Rambam seemed to disagree with Tosfos. Rabbeinu Avigdor is quoted by the Mordechai for sure disagreed with Tosfos. And basically drew the following distinction. That if we have no reason to believe it's Mezuyev, the Shtar comes to us in Beis Din, the Lover is not even around. The Lover went to China 6 years. He's not coming back so fast. So we have to go and collect from his assets whether he's here or not. So we have nobody yelling and screaming at us, Mezuyev, like, Mehech Tesei, that it's Mezuyev. Why would we think that it's Mezuyev? So if the two Eidim signed on the Shtar, Min HaTorah, we just go through with the Shtar. We're not going to question the Shtar. But if the Lover is standing here and screaming, this is a forgery, this is Mezuyev, we cannot ignore that Min HaTorah. That is a valid claim, Min HaTorah. That is a valid position, Min HaTorah. And we have to take that seriously, Min HaTorah. And we're going to require Kiyum Shtaros, Min HaTorah. So according to Rabbeinu Avigdor and the Rambam, Kiyum Shtaros Derabanan doesn't mean it all the time. What Kiyum Shtaros Derabanan means is if and when we have no reason to suspect there's something going on here, then we are not going to insist on Kiyum Shtaros Mideraisa. But if we have a claim of Mezuyev, then absolutely we have to address the claim and counterclaim that on a level of Deraisa. So the problem with the Shittas Rambam and the Shittas Rabbeinu Avigdor is that it seems to fly in the face of Agamar. Agamar said that why are we so lenient to have a fun in Echad and fight Echad? Why are we so, Shaliach walks to the Beis Din and says, here's the, I was in Shaliach and here's the Get, the B'fayin Echad, B'fayin Echad, no problem. And even though according to Rava, we're always afraid for Kiyum Shtaros, we require that the Get has to be B'kuyim properly, like any other Shtar. Wait a second, why is one Eid believed? Since when is an Eid Echad believed for Kiyum Shtaros? What says you're right? Min HaTorah, you don't need Kiyum Shtaros. So Min HaTorah, you don't even need one person to say B'fayin Echad, B'fayin Echad. Mid the Rambanon, Chazal, Misaki, Kiyum Shtaros, therefore we let you get away with a cheap version of Kiyum Shtaros, a one-man show. It should be Guna, Kilibar Rabbanon. But it is clear for the Gemara, that Gimel and Aleph, that if not for the fact that Min HaTorah, we don't have any problem whatsoever, we would never in a million years let one A be believed. So the permissibility the leniency of accepting one aid is predicated on the absolute chayk lo yavor assumption that we don't have a problem in our Torah here. So that has to be evaluated in light of the machlokes Tosfos against the Rambam and Rabbeinu Avigdor. According to Tosfos, that Gemara means Ekechal. According to Tosfos, you never have a problem in a Torah. That's what Kiyum Shtaros Midravar means, according to Tosfos. It's not Shayach to have a problem Midaraisa. But according to Rabbeinu Avigdor, according to the Rambam, is this true that our Pafane Nechta Fai Nechtam doesn't require Kiyum in HaTorah? Doesn't that depend on is there a Baal screaming or not? So I pushed the question back. Is there a Baal screaming? A classic case of Fai Nechtam. Is the Baal screaming? Not really. He's in China. We don't know anything. So 99% of the time, for Fai Nechtam, we could breathe a sigh of relief according to Rabbeinu Avigdor and the Rambam. There's no Baal screaming. So the Yafam in HaTorah, it's true that we can assume the Shtar is acceptable. And since it's true in HaTorah, you don't need Kiyum. Therefore, the requirement of Kiyum in the Rabbanan can be satisfied with the Nei Echad. And everything is fine and dandy 99% of the time. But what about that 1% of the time? When the Baal screams? When the Baal comes in a week later and says, that Shtar is Mezuyaf, doesn't that necessitate Kiyum in HaTorah? And if that necessitates Kiyum in HaTorah, doesn't that translate to mean you need to weigh them? Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's a din. Maybe in a harami. Maybe that is the halacha. That b'fanenechtam is only good as long as the Baal doesn't scream. So the answer to that is that's not true. That is absolutely not true. That's an explicit Gemara. So let's take a look at the Gemara on the fifth of the Mamre Kamos. And Marcos might tell us the following story. Rav Chanin Mishtar, Rav Chanin was telling us over the following Naisa. Fifth of Marcos, page 4. Rav Kahana Aisa Gita. Rav Kahana was once the Shaliach to bring a get. I don't remember, says Rav Chanin, I don't remember exactly the story was. Was the get originated in Surah or ended up in Hardah? Or vice versa. Those are the two major cities in the early days of the Abraham and Bavel, Surah and Nahardah. Eventually, Nahardah was actually burnt down in the fire, and it was destroyed entirely. And then eventually, other yeshivas took up Pupadisa, came into being a little bit later on. But the early days of Abraham in Bavel, so Surah and Nahardah were the two main yeshivas. So there was a get that was given from one town to another. Also the Kavi de Rav, and the Shaila appeared to Rav. Do you have to say b'fai nechem, b'fai nechem? So you may remember we spoke a little bit about this in the Bekiyah Shirim because it was Bavel. So Bavel, although Bavel wasn't quite Eretz Yisrael, it had some of the qualities of Eretz Yisrael. The Talmid Chachamim, it certainly at certain stages were fairly high. The traffic between places was fairly high. So it may be able to kind of almost like sneak in on the heels of being like a quasi Eretz Yisrael for these purposes. So Amalei, so Rav said, they said to Rav, Tzricha lemeim b'fai nechem, b'fai nechem, alo tzricha. Do we have to say b'fai nechem or not? So Amalei lo tzrichas. He said, Me'ikra din, there's no need for such a get to say b'fai nechtav. V'avdas ahanis. But if you say it, you will accomplish something. There's something to be gained by saying it, even though it's not absolutely necessary. Me'avdas ahanis, what are we going to gain by saying it? V'asi ba'am a'ara lo meshkechinan day. If the shaliach says, but he doesn't really have to, but he goes out the extra mile and he says b'fai nechtav, and then a week later the husband comes and screams, we will ignore the husband. So it's a little bit risky, Rav is saying. If you follow the Ikra Din and don't say b'fai nechtam, we'll let the woman remarry, but we're opening up the window for trouble down the line. If you just simply say, it's not going to cost you that much to say b'fai nechtam, it's four words, b'fai nechtam. Somebody walked into the Beis Medrash yesterday that they were one of the Dayanim in Yeshiva, and they walked in with a big FedEx envelope, and they walked over to one of the other Dayanim, and they said, okay, I have the get, it just arrived. So I whispered to him, he didn't get all flustered. So if that's what it was, you could figure it out. So if the shaliach says b'fai nechtam, so then you could breathe a sigh of relief. The husband can no longer ruin the get. If you don't say b'fai nechtam, you're opening up yourself for trouble. So stop for a second. What did we just see from this Gemara? That once you were yait say b'fai nechtam, even though you didn't even have to say it, but once you said it, then the game is over. The husband can never, ever be believed to say Mezuyah. Let's stop and read this Gemara through the eyes of Tosfos and through the eyes of Rabbi Avigdor and the Rambam. According to Tosfos, the Gemara reads like a charm because Kiyum Shtaros is never required in HaTorah. Tainis Mezuyah never registers in HaTorah. The entire lock, stock, and barrel is all midrabbanan. And Chazal said 1/8 is good enough, bishumigunas. But according to Rabbi Avigdor in the Rambam, if and when the husband screams, we have a problem in a Torah on our hands. If we have a problem in a Torah on our hands, then how in the world is the shaliach going to be believed? He's only an Eidechot. We have a suffix deraisa, so whether this get is kosher. We have a real, real problem in a Torah about the kashrus of this get. And we're letting one cheap shaliach carry the day. Say, no problem. Really? But I'm talking. So this is a question all the Achorim deal with. This is literally the olive base of the sugya. According to Rabbi Avigdor and the Rambam, it's against the very, very essence, the very tekwana of b'fai nechem, b'fai nechem. How could it be? So there are two approaches in the Gedolei Acharonim how to solve this problem, according to Rabbi Avigdor and according to the Rambam. So we'll take the first approach, is the approach of the Pnei Yeshua. I'm going to put the Pnei Yeshua. I don't know if Achmanas and Tamir wrote the Nesivus, which takes the preparation there. So the Pnei Yeshua, we did Tarshish about that. We had a little bit of Tarshish about that. So comes the, I think I may put it on later. I don't remember anymore. It may be on one of the Makaras or not. I said I didn't put it on. So comes the Pnei Yeshua with the following breaking. So, yes, it's true. According to Rabbeinu Avigdor and according to the Rambam, it's absolutely true that Tainus Mezuyof exists in HaTorah and it has to be reckoned with min HaTorah. You cannot ignore it. Kozban doesn't. We don't hear it. We don't hear those words. The Baal's not around. We're not going to cause a problem in the Torah. But if the husband or the Lovel or the Moche, Shreis, Chavakami, Beis, and this Mezuyif, we cannot close our eyes in the Torah. How do we address the problem in the Torah? How many Edim do we need to quiet this Titus Mezuyif? So if you would have asked me, I would have said, how many Edim? Open up Pascha Pasha Shoftim. Apishnai Edim Yachim Novar. Don't you require two Edim min HaTorah to quiet this claim, to quiet this response of Mezuyah? Says Rabbi Yeshua, not necessarily. Not always do you need two Edim. Now, I'm not talking about Echad Bisur. I don't want to go down that route because that was 3 months ago. Sugyas. This is Cheska Sisser. We don't want to talk that language right now. But says Rabbi Yeshua, I want to walk a tightrope and show you that perhaps the response min HaTorah to a Titus Mezuyah necessitates a response, necessitates a proof, but it doesn't necessitate a proof of two Edim. Why is that? Why is the necessity of two Edim fall short? So Bnei Yeshua makes reference to a sugya that appears in the fourth pack of Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara is talking about some of the intricacies of identification as to who the Yavam is. So we have a case, Reuven that dies without children. So his wife falls for Yibam to Shimon. So Shimon walks into the base and says, I'm the guy, I'm the brother, I'm all ready to do chalitza. And we're scratching your head and saying, we didn't even know who you are. How do we know you're the brother? So, hey, we haven't seen you in 20 years, we have no idea. Yosef and his brother, we don't know, we don't know who you are. So how many Edim do we need to identify the brother? So comes the Gemara and says, one aid is sufficient. And that one aid doesn't even have to be an absolute kosher aid. Have an Isha, you can have a car. Anybody could come and say, I know for a fact this fellow's the brother, then the show goes on. Then Chalitza can be performed. How do we do that? So the Gemara has three words. Giloy Milsa Ba'alma. The Gemara says, it is revealing what the facts are. What does that mean, Giloy Milsa Ba'alma? There was a major Machlekes Rishonim, just Taich, what do those words mean? So the Rambam seems to learn that what those words mean is as follows. It's another principle the Gemara sometimes uses called the Milsa Da'avida Ligluye. The Rambam says that whenever you have a case that the truth is going to come out at some point, that there is a way for us to figure out what the truth is, then all the requirements of Eidus are lifted and one Eid would be believed. That's why the Rambam ultimately says, why is it that when one witness comes and says that Reuven dies, why do we let his wife remarry? It's a davar shebierva. It's against the chazocha. Why in the world is there halacha called asiras isha pi'erechad? The Rambam says, don't be bothered. The Rambam says, yikshu erechad davar zeh. The Rambam, the end of his game, she says, don't be bothered with that. It says the Rambam, apishtai meidim yachum davar was only said when it's a milsa de'i evshel igluye. When it's a milsa de'i evshel igluye, it's something that it's going to be revealed. The truth will clearly come out. Right, when the person pops into the base and here I am, Baruch Abu, I'm alive and well. So the truth is going to be proven. You don't need to aid him for that. So that's how the Rambam seems to explain the Gemara Yevamos as well. That just merely identifying the relative, the truth will go, someone's going to remember this kid at his bar mitzvah. Someone's going to find the family photo. Someone's going to remember who this kid is. And therefore, to have a stranger come and say, I'm the brother, it's so unlikely. Therefore, it's a quote-unquote Gilim Milsa Biyahu. Well, that's okay. That's how the Rambam seems to learn. But the Rif doesn't seem to learn that way. The Rif seems to learn that what Gilim Milsa Biyahu means is as follows. Now, when do you need Eidus? You need Eidus for the action proper. You need Eidus to say, Reuven broke a window. Reuven killed Shimon. Reuven was a Kaddish and Isha. When you're dealing with the action proper, that's what the Parash of Mishnah Medim Yochum Dover is. When you're dealing with simply identifying certain details that are necessary for us to pask in the Din Torah, for us to proceed in this halacha, the prerequisite details need not be established based on the testimony of two aid. That was not the parasha Pishlam Eidim Yochum Dover. A Pishlam Eidim Yochum Dover means, did Reuven kill Shimon? Did Reuven break Shimon's window? To figure out who Reuven is, who Shimon is, who the window is, who the gun is, everything that has to be done beforehand. So just figure it out. Just as long as Bezit's comfortable with assessing what the facts are, that's good enough. And therefore, identifying the brother is not the chalitza proper. Identifying the brother is the prerequisite. You can't do chalitza if it's not the brother. But that's not the chalitza proper. It was never said all that. That's the way the Rif seems to learn. That's the case, says the Bnei Yeshua. We have a document in front of us. The document says that Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon. So the essence of the case is the loan of $1,000. Do we have two edim that are telling us that the loan took place? Yeah, Pishnai Meir Yochum Dover is being fulfilled with the shtar. Now, how does that work? With a Torah, with the Rabbanan, people of Piksavim. We spoke a lot about that last week. But at the end of the day, either with a Torah, with the Rabbanan, we have an edus in front of us that says, Reuven borrowed $1,000 from Shimon. Apishnayim Eidim Yochum Dover to that effect. We have one small technicality. We are not sure. Are these signatures legitimate? Are these signatures real or not? Says the Bnei Yeshua, identifying the signatures is an act of identification. It's not the case proper. And therefore, it is similar in halacha to the identification of the brother. Identifying the brother, not testifying about the chalitza, never necessitated to aid him. And therefore, in HaTorah, one aid is really good. Says the Bnei Yeshua, catch this one. Kiyum shtaros is required min haTorah when the baldova, when the lover, when the husband, when the meicher is screaming that it's mezuyof. A kiyum shtaros is required min haTorah. But how many eidim are required to do that kiyum shtaros min haTorah? Not two. One suffices. What do you mean? Apishnayim eidim yochum dover? No. This is not yochum dover. Dover means the meisa gufa. This is identification purposes. Identification purposes require one aid, not two eidim. And therefore, min haTorah, the shliach is not good. Min haTorah, when the shliach says b'fanei nechtam fainechtam, the shliach is neman min haTorah to offset the baal's taina of mezuyah. Eloa, with the rabbanon, we have a takon of kim shtaros. You need to aid them. We've never heard of doing kim shtaros. One aid, you're right. With the rabbanon, that you just said the magic word. With the rabbanon, you're required to aid them. Oh, guess what? With the rabbanon, hey mama, hey mamru. If this whole kiyum shtaros of two versus one is only requirement at midr rabbanan, then forgetin, they let you go because we should be good at kiyum rabbanan. So we're back to where we started. The goal was to understand what happened to the requirement of two min haTorah. How could we let the husband screaming a mezuyah be ignored min haTorah? So the answer is, we're not ignoring it min haTorah. We listen to it. We address it min haTorah in the way that the Torah requires it to be addressed. Through one aid, i.e. the shliach. Once the shliach is makayim to get min haTorah, the game is over. The baal is takanat nemah min haTorah, even according to Ben Avigdor and according to the Rambam. That's the Bnei Yeshua's razzle-dazzle pshat. Now, of course, the Bnei Yeshua's pshat is only as true as his assumption is. That equation that he's making based on the Rif, the Kiyam Gilim Yosef Yalma, this is called Gilim Yosef Yalma, if one questions that whole premise, then the entire building comes tumbling down. The Halei of Bnei Yeshua, this was his approach.
He's not identifying
the kind of. You know, he's Bekayim Kiyum Shtaros because we made up the term called Kiyum Shtaros. He's identifying that these are legitimate signatures. So Dr. Fisher's bothered, that's not really true. He's identifying the legitimate signatures, i.e., was there a loan or was there no loan? It's not the same as the brother. The brother, we're making an independent discussion. Is there, was there, is this the brother or not? So that's an independent identification question, which we're going to use for future references. Can we do a chalitza with? Here, what we're really asking is, tachlis, was there a loan or not? Was there a loan? So if the signatures are legit, there was a loan. If the signatures aren't legit, there wasn't a loan. So we're back to square one. It's a pishta. That's exactly what I meant when I said the Bnei Yeshua is only as true as the riff and his extrapolation of the riff. If the riff isn't correct, pshat in the Gemara, and his extrapolation, Bnei Yeshua is not correct, the whole pshat falls by the wayside. So we're going to go down the next route because we have some hesitations about this pshat. We're going to go down the route of the Nesivis. That's the sixth of the Mamakamos. So 100%, you need this Gili Milsa going to Rav Minat Torah, but it could be that Gili Milsa suffices with 1:8. That's the breakthrough of the Bnei Yeshua. I don't want to call it the weakest point of the shade of the Bnei Yeshua, is this idea that min HaTorah, you require Kiyum, but a Kiyum deraisa is one? That's like a startling statement. So you had to dig up a riff in Yevamos and try to extrapolate out of it. Again, a lot of Chorim disagreed. Probably the more popular pshat in the Ravina Vigil and the Rambam is actually the second approach. That's the approach that the Nesivus is about to suggest. So come to the Nesivus, and he says, let's go down a different route entirely. Let's go down the critical route of a halakhic timeline. What happened before what over here? Says in Nesivus, let's take a look at, let's pick up from the sixth line, first one lies the Yesh Lechalik. The Yesh Lechalik ben bohashta lebezid kol mecher alone. Says the Nesivus, is Kiyum Shtaras required in HaTorah to offset Mezuyah for not? The answer is, according to Ben Avigdon, according to Rambam, it depends. It depends on one factor. Has the Shtar already been stamped, not literally, figuratively, with approval by Beis Din? Has Beis Din read the shtar, accepted the shtar, assumed the shtar is good, and then a week later, the Baal is coming and screaming Mezuyah? Is that what's happening? Or is the shtar appears in Beis Din, and the Baal's running in as we're looking at assessing it, as we're opening up the envelope, the Baal's already screaming Mezuyah? Says in Nesivus, if the Baal is invalidating the shtar, before the shtar was accepted as Beis Din, before, to quote, Nechgore Dusim Beis Din Dami, then we have to reckon with the Baal Min HaTorah. Kiyum Shtars will be required Min HaTorah, and Kiyum Shtars Deraisa means two. None of this one Gilead Milsa story says it. Seems didn't buy into that story. He says two Eidim are going to be believed, with 1,000% certainty against Titus Abal Mezuyah Min HaTorah. However, if the shtar was already processed, it was already accepted, it was already approved, it was already stamped with a Beis Din stamp, literally and figuratively, then the Baal comes and screams, Al Zen Ne'amar, Tainas Mezuyah mit Rabbanan. Al Zen Ne'amar, Kiyum Shtaras de Rabbanan. Al Zen Ne'amar, now Gemara, one, we're going to be making, we should be good at Kiyum Rabbanan to let you get away with one. So it says in the Seems, we're going to have a cake and eat it. The Gemara in Davav, the fifth of the Ramah Kermis, that said that we accept the Fainecha Fainechdom, even though the Baal is going to come later. That's exactly what the Gemara says. The E Asi Baal Ma'ara, that means the Baal is going to come later, a later Taina Mezuyah. A later Taina Mezuyah is not a deraisa to Kataina. That's why we're so maker to let the Erechim believe. But as we're deliberating upon the Kashas of the Shtar, then the Baal screams Mezuyah. That's a disaster. That's a red flag, Min HaTorah. That's going to require Kim Shtar's deraisa, and Bitaka won't accept the Erechot on love of deraisa. That's the answer to this. So the chiluk is obvious. The distinction is obvious. But the question is the rationale for the distinction obvious? Like, why should that be so? Like, what is it about that magic moment, the Beis Din read the Shtar, they processed the Shtar, and therefore the game's over Min HaTorah? What kind of a svar deraisa is that? Again, we're using the word deraisa very freely here. I don't recall any passion chumash that says vaydaber shem moshe lemor ki yom shtaris. It's only midrabanan, and sometimes it's deraisa. We keep on throwing around the story with deraisa. We do need it. We don't need it. Is this ki yom shtaris? Not ki yom shtaris. Where did any of this come from? How could we have this seemingly arbitrary chiluk? Oh, the beis and read it already. Then you know, nikiyah min haTorah. They didn't read. They do nikiyah min haTorah. But if it's min haTorah, like mecha thinks any of this is true. So we really have to go back, mamish to the ABCs of the sugya. Forget, not literally, figuratively, forget the Rambam for a second. Forget Rabbeinu Avigdor. Forget the Tosfos. Just the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says, kiyum shtaris derabanan min haTorah. You don't have to worry. Whatever that means. Whatever the parameters of that statement are. You don't have to worry. What don't you have to worry? This is a dintara here. I claim one thing, you claim something. What do you mean you don't have to worry? Where does it say in the Chumash that we don't have to worry? I'm claiming you owe me $1,000. You're claiming you don't owe me $1,000. Why don't we have to worry, Bezdin? Why isn't this a kofreko? Why don't we have to address this Titus Bazilius? So Rashi, on the seventh of the Mamakomos, in our Sugya, Rashi says a bombshell as to why we don't have to worry. Says Rashi in the seventh of Mamakomos, Nasek Mishnah Medusa Mevezdin. You know why we're convinced that the shtar is valid in the Torah? The lochotziv inish lezayufe. Because if you'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu for his assessment, Moshe Rabbeinu, do you think the shtar is a forgery? Let's sit ourselves in Moshe Rabbeinu's base. A guy comes with a shtar that says, Reuben owes me $1,000. Let's ask the dayan Moshe Rabbeinu, do you think there's something to the guy claiming mezuyuf? Moshe Rabbeinu would say, my people, how are you wrong? The Messiah Shtoris. What are you, crazy? What are the odds that somebody forged a document? It's the chutzpah she'ain come out to forge a document and bring it to Beis Din. That's such a chutzpah she'ain come out. Lo chotzif inish lezyupe. People don't do those things. That's the reason why in the Torah we don't address that claim, because people don't do it. What does that mean? What does that term mean? According to, what do you mean people don't do it? Nobody does it. In the history of the world, there's never been a forged document. Halavai, that would be true. Yes, there have been forged documents. So what does that mean? Lo chotze finish. L'chor Rashi means is, it is highly unlikely that it was done. What does that term mean? Highly unlikely. Most probably, the odds are this document is valid. I know a halachic term for that in the Torah. It's called rove. The odds are, anytime you start a sentence in halacha with, the odds are, most of our statistics are the following. What you're really doing is opening up another pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim called Acharei Rabim Lahatos. We just spoke about this on Sunday morning. Acharei Rabim Lahatos is something that we use time and time again in areas of halacha. The Torah says when you have three dayonim, two dayanim say chayav, one says potter, we pass it is chayav. Why? What do you have? Maybe it's potter. There's a 33%. Maybe it's potter. I don't know. Maybe the one dayan is right. The two dayanim are wrong. That's rov. The Torah says, Acharei Lahatos, we live our lives based on rov. Is it possible that the one dayan is right? Yes, it's possible. But we don't pass in possibilities. We pass in probabilities in halacha. That's the din of Torah. And we spoke a lot about this on the Sunday morning show in the shul about how rov means when you have 10 stores and you find a piece of meat, 9 of them are kosher, 1 is straight, you can eat the piece of meat. You follow rov. And rov means that you can drink milk from an animal and you don't have to worry. There's an outside chance. Maybe it has a hole in the stomach. You're right. It's possible. And there's a 3.5% chance that it has. It doesn't matter. There's a 96.5% chance it doesn't have. Therefore, you can drink the milk and don't worry about it. So we live our lives based on rov. For anyone to say we don't rely on rov is absurd. Somebody once told me a story that they called a certain hashkacha and they asked the Rav Machshir, does your hashkacha rely on the principle of rov? So that was like an amaratzik question. So the Rav Machshir said, do you eat meat? Of course I eat meat if it's a pshachta problem. Really? Did anybody ever open up the meat and tell you whether it has a hole in the stomach, a hole in the heart, a hole in the head? We don't do that. Because the Gemara says in Chulin, the odds are it probably doesn't. If you ate meat for dinner last night, you relied on rov. If you have a cup of some milk in your coffee this morning, you're relying on rov. Your lives are lived based on Acharei Mahatas, whether you know it, whether you like it or not. So when Rashi says, we paskin this shayla based on rov, because most likely, chas idish was yufay. What is Adam Goldman? Why is that?
The vast majority of vegans are not Why is this different than Edom coming in lying in basin?
I mean, you're right. Most likely, Edom don't lie in basin. That's what we don't. Edom walk the basin. We interrogate them. We don't say they're probably lying. Once they tell the story, we accept them. We move on. But if two Edom come and say they're lying, what are you going to do? It's not a suffix anymore. A robe is for people who have midrash fakers. The Torah is megal to us when the second set of Edom come. It's not a suffix anymore. Rove is a great tool when you have sfeikas. If there are no sfeikas, then you don't follow a rove.
According to that rationale, the husband comes, tainas mizuyo, and it's not a rove.
Why? Why is it not a
No.
That's far from two-aidim. That's not two-aidim. Two-aidim is a chiddush atar, two-aidim get out. So two-aidim here, we have a document, and we did ask statistical research has shown us that 99% of documents that come to Bezen are in fact legit. Now, one husband screaming and yelling, it's not good. Why do we think this is the 1%? It's probably one of the 99%. So Rashi just gave us the secret to our entire sugya. Rashi told us, you want to know why shtaros don't get kiyum in a Torah? Was a v'chotzeh lezuzah, which translates in Rome. We have a lot of work to do over this Shabbat Friday. We have to go back to this Rashi and see, is this really good? Are there other approaches to this? And how is the open answer to this riddle, you know, help us or hurt us in terms of the secrets of skin? That's Shabbat Friday. Oh, wait. We can talk about robes and super robes. We got work to do. Robes and super robes. We got work to do. Okay. Wow.